You're listening to only on LA Talk Radio.
Because of the situations that's going on. Your name doesn't change because there's bad news. Your name doesn't change because there's lack that you see in your bank account or troubles and strife that's happening inside your home, outside your home, inside your office, outside your office with your children, without your children. Come on, somebody. Because of the pains in the midst of sickness. Your name does not change. Your name remains the same. Amen. 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 Okay, so that's the same way with you being blessed. I'm going to have to take a little. That's a good. That's good. You being blessed. It is not dependent on what the situation is, how you feel. Maybe it's the Lord saying this, or maybe it's just me, but somebody needs to start declaring at all times, I am blessed, and the Lord is moving on my behalf. Come on, somebody. Come on. We gotta stop, or maybe I need to just stop ping-ponging with the situation. Situation, I'm blessed. Oh, God is good. Hallelujah. Or things are happening is good. And then things go down, or situation goes down, or get some negativeness, and then our mouth go down with it. And we say what we are seeing versus remaining in the truth and remaining in Christ and remaining in Jesus, that no matter the wind, no matter the storm, no matter, that I remain steadfast, rooted in the word. Again, it's your identity. Your identity does not change. Let's just sit in that for a second. Thank you, Father God. Our identity in Christ is not dictated by what we've been through, what's happening, what we're going through. We don't see what we do. Amen. So I ask, are you ready? Are you ready for your blessing? Are you ready? Turn to John. Amen. For your miracle. Turn to John chapter 2. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father God, for this moment. Thank you, Father God, for this opportunity. You know what? Everything is not an opportunity to everyone. It depends on where you are in your life, what you are desiring. Amen. Your perspective. And so what's the opportunity to be an opportunity to just get sensitive to Christ, and that he is so real. And he's more real than you seeing me and me seeing you. through this live. Amen. Hallelujah. He's more real than our natural senses. Amen, somebody. He's more real than he's more real than that in the touching. It's more real that we catch the opportunities that come with just being in his presence. That we catch the opportunities, that we recognize that it is an opportunity that I can be in your presence and I can read your word and I can hear from you and I can worship and I can praise and I can pray. It's an opportunity that I can do that freely. Whew, okay. I believe when we do that, there's something else that happens, that there's something more that we make ourselves available to. Amen. Hallelujah. When we treat God in that, from that sensitive place of knowing, I'm going to meet you, and it's not about me, and it's about you, and you being even visceral to me, right? And even becoming tangible to me. I believe that God meets us in that place, and there's something supernatural, and there's something miraculous that happens, and there's something beyond what my words right now in this moment can capture and describe. Go into the scripture with reverence and with a great respect unto God. Amen. This living word, amen. Father God, we repent of our sins, and Father God, we humble ourselves, and Father God, we submit to you. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Here we are, Father God, to worship you, Lord. Here we are, Father God, to be filled by you and with you. And here we are, God, to conform to you and transform from the world. And here we are to lay down and even sacrifice mindsets that we cleave to, we hold on to, that we trust in, ways and habits that we cleave to, that we trust in more than you, that we put up more, exalt more than you. No. Even if it hurts, even if we don't like it, even if we're uncomfortable by it, even if we're inconvenienced by it, it's not about me. It's not about I. It's not about my will. Not my will. What did Jesus say in the Garden of Gethsemane? What did he say? Before going to the cross for you and I. What did he say? Not my will. Thine will be done. So what is it in our life? What is it in our life where we just truly holding on to our will? Not my will. Thine will be done. What can we produce better than God? Than what he could produce. What can we create better than what he can create? What? Not my will! What success can we achieve that's better than the success that he can bless us with? Not my will! What can we fix, resurrect, and renew? Not my will! Let's read. Okay. I know, God is so good. love you forever. I'm sorry, y'all. We just got worship. See, this is how we are being in relationship with God, in intimacy with him. Amen. Hallelujah. I love you forever. We love you forever. We love you forever, Lord. And we'll worship forever. We'll worship forever. We'll worship forever. And we give glory to God. Glory to God. Yes. Glory to God forever. Okay. John 2. Amen. Let's go. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man at the beginning doeth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast good wine now. Miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I want to read also out of the NRSV. Okay, let's read it out again out of the NRSV. Come on. Come on, come on, come on. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, do whatever he tells you. Somebody said, do whatever he tells you. We need to say that out loud. Do whatever he tells you. Put your name. What? So say, Mika, do whatever he tells you. Come on, you put your name there. Amen, hallelujah. Tony, do whatever he tells you. Maria, do whatever he tells you. Rebecca, do whatever he tells you. Lisa, do whatever he tells you. Michelle, do whatever he tells you. Okay? John, do whatever he tells you. Amen? Do whatever he tells you. Now, standing there were six stone water pots for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, fill the jars with water. And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, he called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now. Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Thank you, Father, for this word. Now, as we are reading this passage, amen, the first sign of Jesus' miracles the first of his many miracles, amen, through God in the book of John. John is a book, hallelujah, is that is slightly different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Amen. In the Gospel of John, there's a focus on signs and the relation to believing. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. There's a focus on the signs that Jesus did. John refers to his miracles as signs. Amen. And so we're seeing the signs of Jesus. Amen. As he's in the will of God, God moving through Jesus. Come on, somebody. And the relation to believing. And the relation to believing. And the relation to believing that you see these signs and experience these signs through first believing. We come into Christ through our believing. Amen. In John 2:20, during the Passover festival, many believed in his name because they saw the signs that he was doing. Many believed. Amen. But notice something that I noticed in that is that also you got to be in. How do you see signs if you're not in the vicinity, if you're not following? Amen. And even the believing takes you into following Jesus. But they saw the signs that he was doing and they believed. Amen. I'm also reminded how it was hard for not hard for Jesus, but in Mark chapter 6, it talks about how Jesus could only do why? What was the climate? What was the atmosphere? Amen. Where he could only do a few little miracles. I want to read it. Mark chapter 6. Starting at verse 1, let's just read it. Amen. Because there's something about when we believe. And I'm even hearing the Holy Spirit say that it's time that we take our belief, our faith to another level, knowing that what we read in our Bible and what the scripture tells us and what the truth speaks to us, it trumps everything else. It trumps it's not the logos word, amen, hallelujah. It's not the written word. It's not the rhema word, the revelatory word of God that he speaks to us. It's not the problem. That's not the problem. It is us becoming so familiar and detailed with the situation and the circumstance and the history and the past. And we're so familiar with the ground level. Come on, somebody. We didn't spend so much time on the ground level. To pigeons be on the ground, eagles, they soar high up, amen. But we're so in the dirt of it, we're allowing that to shape us, that then when Jesus comes and speaks the truth, it's difficult for us to receive. We can cast it away as not happening for us. We can chop it up as, well, I've been in this situation a long time, so I don't know if it will. Stop. This word. God's word is truth. God, come on, somebody. It is. It produces. He does miracles, signs, and wonders. This is what he does. Do. This is what I do, he says. This is what I do. Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. Amen. So look, Mark chapter 6, he says, he left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many heard him. And many who heard him were astounded. They said, where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the cause of Joseph and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. See, they was too familiar with Jesus, not Jesus the Son, not Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. Right? You hear all the details that they just spit out. Wait, isn't that the carpenter's son, the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters with us? They took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hand on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. And he was amazed at their unbelief. I'm in this moment because that's just the fact that Jesus was amazed, not at their faith, but at their unbelief. I'm reminded of two passages in the Bible and two people in the Bible where he was amazed at their faith. And one of them we're going to visit in a second. Amen. But what do you want God to be amazed at regarding you? Regarding me? Amazed at your unbelief? Or amazed at your faith? Lord, help us with any unbelief. Let us not stay in a place of unbelief. Let us begin to tear down the mindsets, thought systems. Let us weaken the power of situations and circumstances and past, that it no longer dictates and have an effect on us from walking by faith. Righteous walk by faith and not by sight. What is walking by faith? Walking following the pillar of cloud by day, amen, and the pillar of fire by night. That is the Lord led the children of Israel, how he led them out of Egypt through the wilderness. And for those who believe into the promised land. Somebody say, belief is my ticket into my land flowing with milk and honey, into what I never imagined, into better, the latter being greater, better. Amen. So let's go back into the passage, amen, and glean from the passage and hear the Holy Spirit from this place. Somebody say, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So there's a couple of conversations that's going on, amen. And the first conversation that I want to highlight is the conversation, come on, that Jesus' mother has with him. Amen. And he said, and she, in verse 3, and it says, and when they wanted wine, and when they wanted, the King James says, wanted wine. What does wanted mean according to the gospel, according to the Bible? Because we be walking around talking about we want. But what are we saying? When we say we want to listen? In verse 3, when it says, and they wanted. Thank you, Lord. It's and when they ran out, and when they lacked, and when they lacked. And I'm reminded in Psalms 23, amen. Shall we turn to it and just read it so you know I ain't making it up, but this is what it is, amen. And I, look, and we turn right to it. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And I shall not want. What is that? And I shall not lack. And I shall not lack. And there's some lack in lurking in my life. That's a crime. You're illegal. It's illegal, and you got to get out. Amen. And we thank you, Father God, that in those places of a lack, you're filling it up. You're filling it up. You're filling it up. And I hear the Holy Spirit even saying that in some of those places of lack, we could be looking and saying that we need money. And God said, I'm filling up with favor. Because favor will move you and bless you with an opportunity, amen. And then here comes the financial overflow and the increase. I'm filling it up with peace. I'm filling it up with my love, amen. I'm filling it up with my power. Come on, somebody. I'm filling it up with my grace, not by power, but by my spirit. I'm filling it up with my spirit. Oh, shut up. I lack nothing. Say it. I lack nothing, nothing. So the conversation that Jesus's mother is having with him, she goes to Jesus and she says, and they wanted wine. And the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus said unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, from mother's perspective, amen. From mother's perspective, she knew something is faith. Remember, faith, you see with faith, you know something more. Jesus's mother has already been, from the time of, even before Jesus' birth, from the time that of the angelic visit, amen, from the time that Gabriel visited the Virgin Mary. She's already been hearing and being massaged to Jesus the Messiah. Amen. So she knew, oh, my son can fix this. Oh, and not just my son, I hear the Holy Spirit say, but the Son of God can fix this. I recognize that you're the Son of God. You're the Messiah. She's tugging on the Messiah, amen. This thrusted Jesus into ministry, amen. Come on, somebody. See, with faith, we begin to see different, amen, and hear different, and operate different, and respond different. Come on, and speak different. Remember earlier the Holy Spirit talking about the opportunities and being sensitive to recognize the opportunity. Jesus' mother recognized the opportunity. Oh no, it's not over, y'all. Come to it. You matter of fact, I ain't even gonna say that to y'all. Jesus, they have no wine. Faith does, because even his natural response, Jesus said unto a woman, what have I to do with thee? Woman, as he refers to his mother, that's the Greek is gune, G-U-N-E, with a little thing over the E. I don't know what it's called right now. And it's a term of respect. So when we be trying to bring that into our modern day and woman as disrespectful, no, it's not disrespectful. It's respect. Okay. Woman, what have I to do with thee? Matter of fact, the Holy Spirit has me stopping and saying, we need to function in respect. We need to come to a higher level of operating in respect in our dealings with other people and how we deal with ourselves. Respect. Come on, somebody, put some respect. What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And Jesus is speaking to his crucifixion, amen, when he refers to his hour. His mother saith unto the servants. So she didn't even notice the response in faith. She didn't entertain the people that saying, we ran out of wine, we ran out of wine, we there's a want, there's a lack. She went to Jesus. Jesus, in the natural, didn't give her the answer that she was looking for if we're in the natural. But again, she's in faith. And faith recognizes there's a tug. And when you move a faith, Jesus responds. God responds to faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. So when I'm in faith, it's in the Testament, all the synoptic gospels, amen. Even in John, we see where faith tugged at the hem of the garment of Jesus. Faith stopped Jesus in his tracks. Faith, amen, hallelujah, somebody, caused Jesus to go into a sinner's homes. Faith, it's faith. Faith called Jesus to stop and turn around, amen, and give attention to when he almost passed. Faith. We're talking about faith. Let's talk about it right now. Matthew 15. Thank you. Faith! Somebody say faith. Faith. It's Jesus' faith. It's Jesus' mother's faith. Let's look at the faith, a great faith. Remember, we said Jesus was amazed by their unbelief. And so all the people that we're going to look at is the Canaanite woman and her faith being great. Okay, let's go. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. Let's read real fast. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. But he did not answer her. Come on. He did not answer her at all. It's a similar response that Jesus gave his mother. Yes, he answered her, but he didn't answer her according to probably what she was desiring or expecting, right? So it might have no answer. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she keeps shouting after us. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She came and knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. This is faith. Her faith is seeing. Her faith knows. Her faith put her on game to something. Come on. We got to be persistent and consistent. Not weaken our faith. Like, oh, it didn't happen. Oh, man. No. There's a pressing in our faith, a fighting in our faith. I hear the Lord saying, stop fighting in the natural, fight in faith. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, similar to my hour has not yet come. Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not yet come. So I was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. And he answered, it is not, I believe it's in the King James that says that she worshiped at his feet. And he answered, it is not fair to take children's food and throw it to the dogs. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered her, woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish. And her daughter was healed instantly. Her faith changed, changed the whole narrative. Her faith, amen, caused it to become her time, her daughter's time. In the passage that we're studying in John, Jesus' mother's faith caused it to be time. Jesus is thrusting into ministry. Oh, it's time now. His mother said unto the servants, now she just speaks to the servants, right? Okay, it's our response. There's something in that, our response. We're responding, okay, I heard what you said, but my faith is still driving me. Amen. So I'm going to do, and she turns to the servants because she's still functioning in faith. Whatsoever he said unto you, do it. Because she knows that Jesus, that's his little weak spot. Come on. That's the weak. Jesus, you know, saying not complaining, not rehearsing what's been going on. He already knows. Not rehearsing the need. He already knows. He already knows. Faith. What? I'm gonna go back to this one. She turns to the servants and she says, whatever he tells you to do, do whatever he tells you. Now standing there were six stone water jars for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, okay, Jesus said to them, the jars, he's answering divinely. He's answering to faith, amen. They're having, it's like they might as well be having a natural conversation in the supernatural conversation, but he did respond to the spiritual conversation. Where are we residing and abiding? In the natural or in the spirit? Do whatever he tells you. Okay, so verse 7, Jesus said to them, fill the jars with water, and they filled them to the brim. And he said to them, now draw some out and take it to the chief steward. So they took it. When the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, everyone serves the good wine first and the inferior last, after they're all drunk, because then they don't know the difference. But you kept the good wine until now. Now, this also has speaks to this miracle, also speaks to Jesus. Come on, somebody. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the bridegroom. In the book of Matthew, there is and then also in John, but which one do I want to call out? Jesus speaks about new wineskins, and you can't put new wine into old wineskins. Amen. And the new wine being put into new wineskins is speaking about his doctrine. And Jesus is coming, and he's now speaking a new doctrine and teaching a new teaching, and that's difficult and that's hard to the hearing. In John 6:53, Jesus says, that verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life. This is difficult. This was so difficult of hearing that the son of his disciples turned and left from following him. So we see here in the wine that is being, hallelujah, somebody. Somebody said there's a purpose in everything that he does. And he's speaking to his hour. He's speaking to him being the Messiah. Come on, somebody. He's speaking to Shatare Bosia. Him being the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Even with the water pots that he used, the water pots that he was using, the Jewish tradition, it was used for the washing of feet. Even in that, he's still speaking to to him, Jesus, being the new wine. And so he takes this water, amen, somebody, and he makes, he turns it into wine. And in the wine making process, I hear the Lord saying, even he took it, he overrode some process in just in the natural. If we're gonna be in the natural, let's talk in the natural for a second. And there's like five basic stages. I looked it up. Amen. There's five basic stages of winemaking. It's a harvesting, a crushing, pressing, fermentation, clarification. Then it's then the aging and the bottling. Jesus recreates. He recreates, and that which he recreates is better than what man can make. Right? He took water, and it instantly, in the process of obeying the instruction, and instantly and immediately the best. I say that even the steward, he probably was like a sommelier, is that? And he knew good wine. He was able to discern good wine from not good wine, and even better wine, because the wine was better than even the good wine that they started out the wedding with. Our blessing is in doing whatever God tells us. Our miracle is in doing whatever God tells us, in doing even in the simplest stuff. All they did was put water. They have more than enough water. I hear the Lord saying that there's things that we are looking at and we see that we don't have, but we're not even considering what we do have. And how he's going to use what we do have, and how he's going to use we already know. How many trust God with his process over our process, in to gain success in achieve in life. There's like a ladder or a path, amen, that we're told that we got to take. But how many of us believe that if we just do what God tells us to do, we see his glory. And we are now like the disciples. Amen. His glory was revealed and the disciples believed in him. The disciples had a front row seat to the miracle working power. They hadn't seen, if we're just sticking with the Gospel of John, they hadn't seen Jesus move in such a way yet. And his disciples believed in him. When we believe, we do whatever he tells us to do. When we believe and follow the instruction of God, no matter how scary, no matter how simple, no matter how much it don't make sense to us, no matter how much we have to confront ourselves or the end of ourselves to discover the new of us. It doesn't matter. Not my will. Thine will be done. When we are in that place, we experience the glory of God, the resurrecting power of God, the miracle working power of God, the signs and the good deeds of God. How about it's time that we get in that place And stop trying to make God fit into our places and our conveniences and our likes and our wants. And how we want it to go and our path to. No! Not my will! Even if that means me having to leave, even if that means me having to go, even if that means me having to stay, even if that means me having to abandon, even if that means me having to ignore, even if that means me having to reject, even if that means me having to be isolated, even if that means me having to be a face of lonely feelings, even if that means not my will, thine will be done. But in that place, we know how to speak in faith. And now I know how to speak. And I know how to believe. I know how to walk. And I know how. I know. Like Jesus' mother, I know what to say. Oh, okay. Then now this conversation is done. So come on. We need world conversations. Human conversations. We need human divine conversations. Amen. 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 Faith God in that thing. Faith God in it. Faith Him. Faith God in that thing. You will see the glory of God in the land of the living. God bless you. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness, for your favor. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for in this season, you're telling us to walk by faith, stand in faith. Move by faith, speak faith, think faith, be faith. In Jesus' name, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord bless you, keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift His countenance toward you. Shalom. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Miracles, signs, and wonders. That's it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you. You're listening to Thank You, Jesus, with Pastor Mika, only on LA Talk Radio.